Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and I feel 100% better because doing a whole bunch of stuff around the house and not drinking any water is never a good recipe. And that's why you get a delayed episode. Pretty much like how the kicker season's been so far. Delayed. Just delayed, delayed, delayed.
Is that the right analogy?
Well, considering the crashing and burning part, delaying, you know, a win, finding ways how to lose, finding ways how to draw.
I feel like just walking off a cliff, just like, sheep herding style is more the analogy here rather than, getting things delayed. Things were good at first.
Yeah.
All we're doing now is delaying the, the freeing, release come Saturday.
Pretty much. You know what I realized? Like, this kicker season is pretty much like me cooking rice. And at some point in me cooking rice, I forget that I am cooking rice. So the rice burns. And then I'm just like, well, guess I'm ordering takeout. That's what the kicker season is. Overcooked, burnt rice. Also, okay. I described that I cannot cook rice. So there we go.
Well, we've learned something today. Maybe not any good things, other than, let's all chip in by Elliot a rice cooker.
Yeah, there we go.
That might solve a problem here.
Yeah.
Won't solve a, results problem, but hey, maybe it'll keep you from screwing it up 15 times in a row.
Probably so. It probably won't. My wife will always let me know that I cook rice wrong. It's just the way I
cook. So that was called a segue there.
Ah. And just like the kickers, I have missed it completely. Yeah. There we go.
Bail us out here, Kate.
And Kate has frozen.
She's in the Chenier, memorial spot tonight.
Oh, man. Matt, how are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, it's weird. We usually don't give ourselves, two full days to come down, from, the game. And actually, I guess it's three because that was a Friday night game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Friday night game.
So, feeling good. Yeah. Life is good.
Yeah.
And, getting ready for Saturday and, one last hurrah back at City Stadium for the season.
First of all, let's talk about this tweet you made about we should burn the white jerseys, which I'm totally agreeing with. I think we should have a full-blown effigy of just burning them.
Right. I mean, it's getting cooler outside. I think it's supposed to be in, the 60s on Saturday?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've mentioned it at all over the last, 6 or 7 months. I don't like the white jerseys. I don't know if this has come up at all.
But here's your spot.
Okay, cool. I couldn't remember if I'd mentioned it 30 times already or not. So, yeah, not a fan of the white jerseys. I feel like, it's bad juju overall. It's going to be, a little cooler on Saturday. Okay, maybe it's raining, but what better way for everybody to, keep warm amongst the rain than get all those godforsaken white jerseys and light up? They're icy, right? So light them on fire and bring the warmth, into the crowd. Who doesn't love a big old bonfire?
There you go. We can also throw the red jerseys that the love to say they're red,
but they got to wear something.
They can wear the gray and pink ones that they wore twice. It's the end of the year. We don't care anymore. For all we care, they can wear their training tops. Just go out there, finish the game, and call it a day.
You and every USL League One announcer hates those tops, Matt. So I think they would all get up and cheer if we were to do that.
Yeah.
No one will be happier than the union of USL League One announcers than the day those jerseys are never seen again.
Right. By the way, Kate, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I've moved into a new apartment, so I'm recording from a new space than all the others. So.
Oh, fancy new spot.
I don't know why you took Chenier's advice on ISPs. That was probably a mistake, but
Still, yeah, had to change the little 5G option that Xfinity offers, but we're back.
Well, hopefully we're back soon too as well. So Richmond got a 2-2 draw against One Knox. That's kind of been the theme with them so far this year. We've only played them twice, and both games is in the 2-2.
Undefeated, baby. Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Most important thing, much like Darius and Watts, we always say, gotta look at the positives of it. And once again, one of the few positives out of this team, I feel like, is Mr. Neil Vinyals, who is single-handedly dragging this team across this finish line. Like, he is trying. I truly hope that he wins Supporters Player of the Year because he deserves it. He's not going to get any other recognition, but he deserves that one.
Agreed. He was creative, forward-thinking, which are a lot of things that we haven't necessarily seen from the team as a whole throughout this season. And it's always – he just brings a sort of creativity and control in the midfield, like on an individual level, which I haven't seen a lot of players be able to do anything about 1v1 when he's sort of in his flow. So seeing him take players on and open up the field is – always really wonderful when he's on his game and things have opened up for him.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely looks on a different level than the rest of the guys out there right now. Even just how he runs with the ball, you know, exudes a lot more confidence, a lot more ability than anyone else on the field. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, maybe if he was around better players, you wouldn't notice it as much, but he's not right now, so you do. But yeah, he's definitely been carrying the team. I'm open to him as kind of the team MVP for the year. I'm not going to be upset if he wins it. I think Emmy still has a legitimate case, too. They both missed a good amount of time during the course of the year. Only difference is the time that Emmy missed, the team has been not good. And the time that Neil missed was actually when we were winning, so. Factor some of that in there that they didn't seem to miss Neil quite as much, and it would take a lot of argument for me to accept that the team is not missing Emmy over the last 2 months at this point.
Oh yeah, what he's been asking. Yeah, 2 months. Yeah, no, you're right.
But yeah, anyone other than those two, and it's going to take a bit of convincing for me to think that's a valid choice.
Yeah, I think the four that's in the running is Neil, Emmy, Fitch, and Ani. I think those four are in the running. So, we'll see. We'll see who the final home game. By the way, right, I'll remember, so you go over to the Facebook page, vote on that stuff. I want to ask you guys this question about Neil. Is it fair to say that our season – I kind of thought of it as, man, when you said it, like, at the start of the year, we missed Neil – and when Neil's running in the form, the team kind of drips off, but we're missing Emmy. Do you think this season can kind of just be summed up as like probably two of our best attacking players were in and out of form at the wrong time, and that's just how the team went? Like, we never had a real pair where both were in form at the same time, like last year.
I think there's that middle part of the season where they were both around. So I don't know if that's totally – fair to say, but I also don't know if Emmy's around right now. I still don't think this team is making the playoffs, and they were doing fine without Neil. So I don't know if that's necessarily the difference, as it is, the wide contributions. But yeah, I mean, certainly wouldn't have hurt, to have both of them available, for 32 games instead of, I'm not going to bother to do the math right now and try to figure out how many they both played in. That's just my opinion.
And one of the things we've talked about is how many midfield combinations we've had. And so Neil did get injured, I feel like, early enough in the season that if he hadn't been injured, maybe a more solid rotation would have developed. That they needed to figure out how to fill the hole of Neil for a relatively extended stretch. And I don't know if it was fine for that time. The team was still in decent enough form that, again, yeah, it wasn't as big of a loss as Emmy feels right now. But I wonder if it did sort of break up the ability to coalesce around a sort of starting trio in the midfield and maybe build the chemistry that could have kept going. Instead, it sort of, Joao played really well for a while, and then Neil came back in, and it was sort of fitting multiple players back into a midfield that might not have developed as much chemistry over the course of the whole season as maybe if he hadn't gotten injured.
Yeah, pretty much so. It just seems like a lot of our key players were in and out of form around the same time, and like one player would get in form, then one player would get out of form. One player would get in form, one player. So just an interesting thought experiment. Maybe something we could talk about in the year podcast coming up soon. Moving on, a player that has reinvented himself, probably has been a surprise contributor to the attack thus far, Michael Hornsby. If nothing else, Darren has gotten this right by moving him up from fullback to winger. Guys, how is Hornsby doing so far as a winger the past two games?
It's fine. Yeah, he's
that's a good way to describe it.
It's probably been better than some of the other options that we've tried out there. He's a little bit more direct, I think. Not at the same level as some of the guys that you've seen there in previous years, but I think you see more of his instincts from bombing forward from left back, getting replicated in a wing role. And mentioned it before. I do think it takes a little bit away from what he really thrives at, starting further up the field. But even in this game, you saw some of the more return of the long diagonal ball over to the left wing, where he'd be able to try to chase it down and take some one on ones through there. Is he going to hit on all of them? No, nobody ever does. But it's having a little bit more of that aggressiveness and even just having reliable left foot to get that cross in, so it's not always going to be obvious that I'm going to try to take you on the dribble, right? And just being able to mix it up like that sometimes I think has helped enhance what we've been able to get out of that side. I mean, it's hard to say he's been super great, given how the offensive output and results have been going, but certainly I think it's improved there, and we haven't lost as much with Beckett at left back compared to Hornsby at left back and winger of the day at left wing.
I'd say it feels a little too late. I would have liked to see him make this move earlier in the season because we have such a small sort of it's more like anecdotal evidence because we don't have like a sort of large enough pool of games to sort of evaluate his impact. I thought he's added a lot more control and directness on the wing that we haven't seen in who's been out there before. But I wished we'd been able to see this over a longer period of time because one of the things I notice in this league is that your chances are not going to come from the perfect play and hitting the perfect ball. It's often about probability and getting the ball into dangerous positions as often as you can. And that's been one of the things that kickers have not done all season is sort of spamming chances as much as they can and getting the ball into dangerous positions. The reliance on possession means you're always looking for the perfect pass or you're looking for like your most optimal option rather than just increasing the frequency that you're getting dangerous balls into the right place. So I just feel like we've seen an increase in balls into the box, sort of like low balls driven across the box. Him taking players on one-on-one on the wing, actually getting to the end line, which just sort of increases the probability that you're going to get a dangerous ball that can then get knocked in. And wish we had more than four total matches to actually see how that could have play out.
Yeah, because mentioning kind of a little bit of the randomness, we saw weird things can happen in this game when the ball goes into the box, one good, one bad.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. This question, I want to ask you guys this about Hornsby. It's a two-part question. One, does Michael Hornsby if he sticks around for next year, would you like to see him play more of the winger spot slash more of the winger than fullback? Or do you just want to go get a new winger and keep him at fullback?
I mean, I think he ends up adding more value as, you know, a fullback, but it obviously depend on who's able to come in, you know, in front of him, right? Because, you know, presuming Beckett's back, I think he can do the job there, and hopefully he'll take a leap over the course, you know, of the winter time. But I do think, you know, all things being equal, you know, Hornsby is more valuable, you know, to especially a Darren style team, as a left back as opposed to a left wing.
Okay. I do think sort of similar. I think the up top option would have to be improved, because I think Hornsby's defensive skill means that Beckett is given a bit more support as he's growing, because he's not like the player above him is going to be able to pitch in defensively because of that sort of defensive mindset. So I think they're sort of Beckett has played very well, and he's sort of being supported in a way that helps him grow without being overexposed by having a player with a more defensive skill set in front of him anyway. So I've liked what I've seen from Beckett so far. I think he's been very confident on the ball, and he hasn't made any rash challenges. He hasn't, dropped back too far, you know, kept players onside. I think he's been showing his maturity back there. And I think that is, I would imagine there's a large part due to the fact that he can trust that the player in front of him is going to be able to pitch in.
He's done a good job of, you know, making the kind of the safe, right choice. You know, I think, you know, but you know, given what we've seen from Darren the last, you know, 4 years, you know, he wants the outside backs to be able to bomb up the field and contribute that way. And, you know, right now that's the missing, you know, piece for Beckett at that position. Why I think Hornsby, all things being equal, you know, is the better choice, you know, there, because he just provides that extra dynamic at left back. But again, all depends on, you know, all the other pieces, you know, around, you know, either one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very much true. That's very much
true. What do you think? You're getting away without having to give your opinions on all these.
I think the sample size of him of being a winger is a little bit too small. I think it could be a trump card that you pull out late in games if we're trying to, you know, push for a lead, or a game where you feel like, all right, the opposition is going to sit a little bit back and you need to stretch them. But if Hornsby is back, I would like to see him in that fullback spot. I like what he gives you there. But this is also contingent on who's the winger. Like, if we don't bring in a winger that's capable, all right, we have Hornsby. We've seen, quote unquote, done this under 3 games. I like what I've seen so far. I kind of feel like at this point of the year, he hasn't done anything wrong. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let's see what he can do going forward. Like, he hasn't given me a reason to hate it. You know, it's the opposite of Chandler at center back. Like, I've seen enough sample size of to know I don't like it. Where at Hornsby at winger, I'm like, okay, I like it, you know. Like, I get it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the inverse of that.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Also, another player I feel like we always talk about that stands out, Mr. Palmquist, again. He stands out again. Guys, I'm gonna firmly stand in this now, and I'm probably going to stand in the end of the season podcast as well. Palmquist is my vote for the number one goalkeeper next year. If he stays, he got my vote of confidence.
Agree. Cosign.
Yeah.
He pulled some pretty impressive saves out of his locker in this last one. But that hasn't been unusual. I think he's been very, very impressive. And especially double saves. I think that's where a lot of keepers at this level can get caught out. You know, you can make one great save, but if your positioning's not there to be able to follow up, you know, with the where the ball goes from there, you know, not much value in that. But his double saves have been stellar.
I mean, having the carry as a coach got to be a benefit as well. Like, I feel like that's something that Kara does very well. Like, those quick reaction saves of, like, last second. Like, oh, I have to dive in this direction and deflect it in a way in which it doesn't fall back to the middle of goal. I feel like he does a very good job of that. But, I mean, the only thing you probably put a knock on Paulquist is maybe his distribution. We saw a little bit of that in this game where he kind of looks a little bit hesitant. And if so, like, if Paulquist is the number one going into next year, maybe we don't see a whole bunch of playing out of the back, but knowing Darren, he's going to try to force it in there. Yeah, that can be. But I do like what Paulquist has. Like, I feel like it's the right time now to make the transition from Akira to Paulquist. And he hasn't been the reason we're losing these games. Like, if anything, he's been the reason why, for most of the large part, we've been around or been able to come back in, like, in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably could have been 3-0 inside the first, you know, 15 minutes. You know, I know he had to make, you know, one big save off of a bad giveaway. You know, and we got fortunate with another just poorly taken shot, you know, where they probably could have had a much better look if they just picked their head up. But we'll take that. In the second half, you know, had one that, you know, almost kind of was able to reach, you know, behind him to be able to, you know, turn it around the post. So yeah, I think we've seen throughout the year he can be able to, you know, pull out those saves. I think he's gotten a lot more comfortable in the air, you know, over the course of the season, you know, too. So yeah, I mean, he hasn't given it. Yeah, you know, I don't think he's given, you know, Darren, Mika, you know, the rest of the staff, you know, I guess Akira too. There's always got to be a little bit of a weird dynamic, you know, right there. Any reason to, you know, for them to think, no, this isn't the guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I do appreciate that we didn't sometimes see, that I know we talked about a few weeks ago, was the willingness to kick the ball long when you do get into a tough position. We've seen Akira, I think, on a few times sort of try to play the ball out of the back, even when that leads to an even worse situation. So I do appreciate Palmquist also. He's not afraid to just kick it long when he does get into a tough position, which is, I appreciate him, just that instinct of get the ball as far away from the goal as possible. System be damned. His thing's got to go. Because sometimes I've noticed Akira do that on occasion where, for some reason, the baffling continuing to play the ball around and leading to an even worse situation. So that willingness to clear the ball.
Yeah. I mean, having a goalkeeper that just boots along, it's okay sometimes just to reset. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with just resetting a play. I mean, I know it's hard to kind of look at positives from a draw, but it is good to see them get a draw and still be fighting, not just shuffling in and be like, all right, it's 2-1, and whatever. Because none of us, I don't think, would have blamed them if they would have did that, because, you know, you're out of the playoffs, there's really not much to play for. Guys pretty much just packing in, but to see them get a draw, granted, it's not a win, and it should be treated as that. That might be Darren calling to tell us to be quiet. are there any positives from the team as a whole to take away from this game? Like, anything they can be like, all right, this is something we can build towards on in the future.
Yeah, I liked where the goals came from. So like, I know the one was a penalty, but, you know, the way that, you know, penalty was built up to, it wasn't, you know, just some, you know, stupid, you know, defender, you know, deciding to handle the ball for no apparent reason, or you know, just, you know, some, you know, sloppiness. It was an actual little bit of, you know, a build, and I'm always going to take this opportunity for the cheap shot. You know, good old, you know, friend, you know, Jalen, you know, just making another, you know, charitable play, you know, to us.
You know, he felt bad for us. He was like, I got to help my friends out.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Neil's able to step in front. Yeah, I to me, it was the USL one equivalent of the Gareth Bale, Walker Zimmerman, you know, play from the World Cup. Neal's never winning that ball. You know, he got himself in front of it, though, and you know, Jalen went straight through him as a result. And we'll take that penalty all day, you know, every day, right there. So you know, I liked you know how it came about. You know, rather than it just being you know again somebody tackling us you know off of a long throw because they've I don't know why a guy ever did that. You know, to Dakota in that game, and then the other one, you know, another thing that we've you know, been harping on, made it, you know, a pet passion project. You know, Neal just taking a rip from outside and scoring. Yeah, you can play the ball around, but you know, sometimes shooting the ball works.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean,
taking that rip works.
That's two rockets that he's had from outside, you know, the box this year.
Oh, yeah, it is. I feel like one knocks. It's just a bad team for us to play out the back against. Do you think is, I mean, granted, we haven't had success with it as much as we did in years past, but do you think one ox is just a team that we're just like, all right, avoid playing out of the back against them?
Just the way it has anything to do with them.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking back to the first game we played as well, when we tried to play it out of the back and we just conceded, like, I think it was one or two dumb goals.
The annual Ani decides to, you know, try to pull you know Maradona 86, you know, on everyone, and you know dribbles up. I mean, this time it was a goal conceded instead of picking up a red card.
Yeah,
but you know, he's good for one of those, you know, years so far, and that was it. You know, this time. So I mean, I guess technically yes, you could be able to say that, but I think for this year it's more of a function of we're not really strong in that against anybody, rather than it being a Knoxville thing specific.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, let's go ahead. Let's focus on our last game of the season. We finally get to put, I don't want to say a nice bow tie on the season. I feel like it's probably like a lump of coal in the stocking at this point. Our last home game of this season against Central Valley Fuego. There is something to play for. We could potentially do a gentleman sweep over Central Valley Fuego. Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. Are they the only team that we can possibly do a gentleman sweep over? I think everyone else.
I mean, depends how you want to define it. We didn't lose to Knoxville.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like it's just a tied series at that point with them.
Well, so, I need to win because I slandered Fuego on my Instagram story during the match when we were up, 3-1? No, 2-1, 2-0. And then, when we were up 2-0, I posted on my Instagram story mid-match, like something like, how shit must you be? We're winning at home. And next thing you know, we're losing 3-2. And Central Valley Fuego's Instagram admin came into my DMs to slander me about the results. So I personally would like us to see and thump them to make up for the fact that I had to handle disrespect in my own DMs because of our defense's unwillingness to.
Well, Central Valley's admin is DMing you slander. You got bigger issues to handle, like an actual home field that's suitable, you know?
I did say maybe worry about the points on the table rather than you're eking out a draw at City Stadium, but
you know, I can respect a good clapback.
Yeah, it's fine. I kind of wish our admin would do a little bit more of that, like just fire that home, just tweet that out. But yeah, we play Fuego at home, guys. What are we expecting from this game, or what are some things you would like to see from this game? Final home game. Me personally, I'm going to be nicely toasted because it's Virginia State's homecoming. So I might miss kickoff, but I'll be there. Might miss kickoff, though.
Okay. I mean, obvious answer, win.
Ta-da! Yeah. That's the only answer.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I know you hate it, but you know we're going to celebrate this no matter what. Like, this team can win, and we're going to be like, Everything's solved. We're good to go next year. Up the roofs.
Yeah, I don't want to go and you know another 5 months until the next game and just have that hanging over everything. Yeah, I won't love the great season, everybody. This is all because this has not been an awesome 3 month. First half of the season I was fine with. Last 3 months less okay with. So, but yes, let's not, try to extend the streak into next year.
Mm-hmm. I would not like to see our number of days since last win have to stretch through the winter.
Whew.
And have that number be a clownable statistic. Maybe if we could nip that in the bud so that we could keep it within this season, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yeah, if we win and other results, go our way, climb back up to ninth, still awful, but not as awful.
Still better than Central Valley Fuego. That might be the one perk of this is no matter what, we'll still finish above them in the table.
That is positive. That is true. The only thing that beats that is possibly watching that pink team drop out of the playoffs and we win. It would make me feel great.
And I don't trust Charlotte enough to roll over for Tormenta.
I don't either, but I just want it to happen.
Yeah. Look, if Omaha was really committed to the rivalry, they would have said, all right, we'll sacrifice, a couple points down in Tormenta instead of running up the score when they were up a man. Yeah. They would have found a way to put an own goal in and, give it another out. But no, they say they hate. They don't hate, right?
Yeah.
They're not haters. We are haters. We were the ones silently, celebrating, the Tormenta game because we knew it gave a little bit more of a chance.
I'm not what I was. I low-key was. I was like, I'm that mad at it. I'm that mad at the result. I'm that mad at it. Low-key, there was a part of me, even though I was at a wedding, and I know this is wrong, but F it, I want chaos. There's a little part of me that was upset that we won because I was like, that keeps one knocks in the pack a little bit longer, and that puts even more pressure on Madison. And I was just hoping. I just want to see them crash and burn at this point.
I think we deserve that.
Yeah, I want. If we can't be happy, who else deserves to be happy?
No one.
Exactly. It's a win-win for all of us.
I don't understand how other people don't get that. It's like, we'll be really happy for. I don't want Stephen Payne to be happy.
Yeah. The only team that I'm cool with winning is Noco. And that's Para because he has cancer.
They're going to say they don't really have fans, so who cares?
Oh, well, I mean, but also, let Parra win. Let them win.
No, the real reason.
Can crash and burn. Yoma can crash and burn. Greenville can crash and burn. Madison can crash and burn. Charlotte as well. Let Noco win.
Also, Noco, got to love, Eamon Zayed because we were just talking about, being King haters. He's honorary, hater because he's, pulling out, all the preseason, predictions and just, firing back at, you and the rest of the Walking 90 folks for talking mess on them preseason, but also even week to week, people who pick against them, after they win, just, coming back with receipts. I respect a coach like that,
I do respect
and talking the trash on Twitter.
I respect it, but let the record show, I did pick them. Out of everyone else on that show. And everyone looked at me like I was crazy. But I'm standing with it.
Ignore some of the other predictions because that don't matter right now.
The other predictions don't matter. Look, no one could predict what would happen this season, okay? That's not on us, all right? No one else could have predicted it. But that being said, y'all, we got a final home game. Unfortunately, Colton Belmar would not be there with us because he's on international duty with Granada. So, unfortunately, we won't be able to say bye to him. But, if and I know it's not an easy time to talk about, but if this is the final home game for certain Kickers players, would you like to see them get one last hoorah? Like one last opportunity to say goodbye to the fans on the field? Or are you kind of just like, no, I want to see what's developing for next year?
It depends which players.
It also depends on if we are winning. I've lost my patience, I think, a little bit with the sort of ceremonial aspects, especially at home, especially last game of the season. If we're not winning, I don't want to squander the opportunity for a win for sort of more sentimental opportunities. So if we were up 3-0 in the 70th minute, I'd say I'd be thrilled. That'd be fine. Go ahead. But we have not often been up 3-0 in the 70th minute to give us the time to have fun with our substitution. So,
well, how many guys on this team would even merit, you know, something ceremonial?
The only way I can think about is Luke. And that's just because my mind goes back to when Troyer did it in 2019. But the reason why we did it for Troyer is because we knew, like, Troyer
pre-announced.
Yeah. Like, this was going to be his last home game. I think the only one that would get it is Luke. Like, if Luke.
I mean, if we didn't know about, you know, contract status for other guys, you know, Emmy and Akira, but we know that they're under contract.
Yeah.
So unless that injury is a lot worse than anybody's saying, I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Luke might be the only one who gets it. Like, gets
right.
It.
That's just because of longevity. It's not because of output.
Yeah. It's just because, you know, longevity is just that. Which I would be sad for because, you know, Luke is my boy. I root for Luke as much as I can.
Of course. Yeah. Life. I think he's probably, what, at worst, probably top three fan favorite right now.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think he is. I'm just happy he scored a goal. Like, this man just walks away with at least one goal scored. So, something to hang your hat on.
I don't think he's necessarily. I wouldn't phrase it as walking away because, you know, they just put the thing out about, you know, him, Dak, and Neil doing, you know, their coaching license for.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, Richmond United and Kickers, so not going physically going anywhere, it doesn't seem.
No, it doesn't. Which, by the way, reminds me to bring up the club been mysteriously tweeting about something about tomorrow. What do you guys think it could be? What if they magically just bring out, hey guys, this is the red jersey we were supposed to wear. We finally got them in shock.
Supply chain issues
were actually right.
After Lexington tweeted that they were tweeting tomorrow as well about their women's team, for a second I was like, could it be that? But I don't think they would pull all of the half the men's team in to do some rainbow cookie specific promo about the women's team. So
I forgot about that part.
Maybe they're going to do free cookies at the game. Or maybe they're rolling out some new product that all the profits from will go back into the club. Some new U Crops cookie product that we'll get.
Maybe do you guys think you could be a new owner?
Why would they roll it out with rainbow cookies? That's a U Crops product.
I don't know. My
best guess is still something
confusion, new. Though. Do you guys think this is a big U Crop? I bet it's a new owner because we need one so bad. We'll find any connection.
Rob just walks out with a mustache, like he's Wob Room Rob. Like,
I think the simplest answer is something W League related because, you know, there's other teams that are, you know, teasing stuff around it. Like maybe it is that, you know, U Crops will be the presenting sponsor there, you know, too, which I don't know how that would help with their, you know, wanting to have, you know, separate brands necessarily. Or, you know, I don't know. This is coming off the top of my head. If the color scheme is going to be something rainbow related, which I don't know if I would like or not.
They're changing the name to the Richmond Rainbow Cookies.
Yeah, well, I don't think they've said a name yet, have they?
No, they haven't said a name. I don't think we get a name until maybe next
I'm guessing year. February or something. But
yeah, I think around that time, I think we'll get a name. I mean, NoCo just announced their women's team name already. They're going with NoCo Rain. So,
you know. I feel like that might be taken already in the women's game, but
yeah, that's a
tough one. homonym at least.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it might. I think it might be a sponsor.
Well, we did. They did lose the what night? No, one of the shirts of like the six or whatever. One of them is getting replaced, right? Or we just got a new one. Like the
I think Nightingale is still there.
Actually, hold on. Easiest answer here is Ucrops is just renewing its front of shirt sponsor.
Probably so.
We all booed.
Probably so. It's probably that. It's probably that.
I mean, it looks good on the shirt. I don't mind it. You know, it has genuine Richmond connections. Yeah, it's not.
What if they are bringing back the Rainbow Cooking Kit for the last game? They're like, hey guys, somebody named Matt has mysteriously stolen all the white jerseys, so we have to bring back the Rainbow Cookie.
Yeah, maybe they got to pull out one of them Calvo jerseys for you.
Either way, I'm sure we'll be thoroughly underwhelmed. But I will say, it has been very funny how much acting they've required of the team this season.
Yeah, they have.
Where are the Oscars? Because they've stayed in character.
Luke's commercial was hilarious. Like, you can tell they were like, Luke, you can do this.
Mm-hmm. No, I was sold. I was on the edge of my seat. Like,
you going to be a professional soccer player? You know, this level sign on for something that says I can't make a penalty.
Yeah,
a crib.
Look, man, protect your brand.
You're not you. You're not a penalty taker when you're Nightingale-less or whatever.
Yeah, that's funny. That is funny. All right, y'all. We got one more game left. Let's close it out with a good. Keep it hurrah. We won't mention anything about the playoffs. We get it. Whatever. It is what it is. But we'll be there. I'm pretty sure the fans will be there. Any last things from y'all before we wrap up?
One more time out of City Stadium. Again, where do you have more fun?
Yay! Fun.
Yeah. Sure as hell ain't Virginia State, so...
Hey. Last time I checked, we are the last undefeated team in Virginia. So I will thank you, Eva, for agreeing with me. I will gladly enjoy myself. I'll be late.
Jamie, you lose?
Are they undefeated?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, I don't pay attention to anything outside of Division II in Georgia.
Well, I think we should all hope that it won't rain on Saturday.
It probably will.
No.
And if it does, it is what it is. It's a microcosm of our season.
The perfect, rain to end the.
Let's all celebrate that we don't have to watch ESPN Plus again this year.
Yay! Oh, man. This is going to be hilarious. This is going to be hilarious. But with that being said, listeners, we just want to say thank you for taking the time of your day for listening to our show, because without you, we couldn't do this. And especially on the Mika episode, which has now cracked over, I think I last checked, 175 listens since I uploaded it last week. So
yeah, that was generally good, Elliot. You know, well done with the questions and kind of drilling deep, on that one. I enjoyed listening to it.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that was a pretty cool interview, because we hear them talk so much about the youth and that they haven't really explained it. So to dive deep and to figure out, like, all right, what is the processes? What is happening? It's good to get an inside view. So, I mean, everything on the field right now, short term seems crappy, but long term, where the club is pushing towards, I'm kind of happy with that direction. So maybe that's the saving grace of this team season. That was some people's jobs. Who knows? But that being said, listeners, we'll holler at you next week. Be easy, be safe, and as always, up the ruse.